It looks, my dear Glaucon, as if that is where the whole danger lies for a man. It is why the greatest care must be directed towards having each and every one of us disregard all other branches of study and be a follower and student of this branch of ours, in the hope that he can find and discover someone who will give him the ability and knowledge to distinguish the good life from the bad, and choose always and everywhere out of all those possible the life which is better. He must take into consideration all the things we have talked about here today, comparing them with one another and choosing between them in terms of excellence of life. He needs to know what the effect is, for good or bad, of beauty when mingled with poverty or riches, and what the effect is of noble or ignoble birth, of private life or public office, of strength or weakness, of ease or difficulty of learning, and all such matters as are connected with the soul, either by nature or acquisition, when they are all mingled with one another. Taking all these things into consideration, he must be able to choose, defining the worse and better life with reference to the nature of the soul, calling that worse which leads the soul along the road to greater injustice, and that better which leads along the road to greater justice. He will pay no attention to anything else. After all, this is the crucial choice, as we have seen, both during his lifetime and after his death. Fast as adamant must he hold to this opinion as he goes to Hades, so that even there he can avoid being distracted by evils like wealth, and so plunging into the sort of behaviour, tyranny in particular, which will make him commit countless crimes for which there is no remedy, and suffer an even worse fate himself. No, he will know how to choose the middle way in such matters, avoiding the two extremes both in this life, as far as he can, and in the whole of the life hereafter. This is the way to the greatest happiness for a man. The next thing the speaker had to say, according to this messenger from the afterworld, was this. Even the last to come forward, provided he chooses sensibly and lives with integrity, has a worthwhile life before him, not a bad life. There is no cause for carelessness if you choose first, no cause for despair if you choose last. When he finished speaking, the person who had drawn the first lot came straight up and chose the greatest tyranny. In his folly and greed, he did not look hard enough at what he was choosing. He had not seen that within its fate was included, among other evils, the devouring of his own children. When he did have time to look at it, he beat his breast and lamented his choice, in defiance of the instructions the speaker had issued earlier. He didn't blame himself for his misfortunes. He blamed fate, the gods, anything rather than himself. He was one of those who had come from the heavens, and in his previous life he had lived in a well-ordered society. He had had his share of virtue, but it had been a matter of habit rather than philosophy. Generally speaking, the bulk of those caught in this kind of predicament were those who had come from heaven, since they were without the experience of hardship. Most of those who came from the earth, having both suffered themselves and seen others suffer, were in no hurry to make their choice. For this reason, and because of the way the lot fell out, for the majority of the souls, there was an alternation between good and evil. However, if there is anyone who every time he enters this life here consistently pursues philosophy in the right way, then provided the way the lot falls out does not put him among the last to choose, the chances are, if Er's report is correct, not only that he will be happy here, but also that his journey from here to there and back again will be along the smooth heavenly road, not the rough terrestrial one.